Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Option Plus podcast. Yes, these podcasts have been a little bit irregular, but I would still like to share some cool stuff with you. So hopefully you don't mind that they are irregular. I'd rather make an episode when I have something to say. This episode is a recording of my talk from Hackers Congress 2024 from Paralnipolis, which is the last congress under this name, HCPP. Hopefully next year the congress will still happen, but under a different name. So I hope that we will meet there, because it is one of the best, if not only, crypto-anarchist and libertarian, techno-libertarian Bitcoiner conference. I hope that you will enjoy the topic of today's episode, which is about how to fix the internet, about Nostr, about mesh networking, Reticulum, and so on. Before we start with the recording, though, and these topics, I would like to remind you that you can listen to this podcast using a value-for-value enabled podcasting app, such as Fountain.fm or any other podcasting 2.0 app that allows streaming of sats and boosting. I would really appreciate if you gave me some feedback, either as streaming sats or as boost with a comment, and I will read the comments at the end of the next episode, and I will also read the comments from the previous episodes, the boosts, I mean, at the end of this episode. I would also like to share some of the projects that I have done recently. One of them is NotBent, and I have done a podcast about NotBent. It is a cashew-enabled eCash system that sends eCash over the Reticulum network, and this episode will be about Reticulum. Another cool project is called RSS2 Podcast. I have not released it yet publicly, but I will soon. But you can definitely see the result of this project. And I have used it to convert all my blogs, or at least those that make sense converting, into audio. So if you don't have time to listen to, read, blogs, but you have time to listen to them, you can do that. You can search your podcasting app, such as Fountain, for URIJ blogs. That's J-U-R-A-J. And you can read about Lunarpunk, about Lightning, about how to fix the fee problem with Lightning, about GDPR and many other topics. So these are hours of content. Of course, it is read by an AI model, so it's not as good, but oh, you don't get my accent. So maybe it is even better than this natural reading, and I hope it will be understandable. There has been a lot of work done into pre-processing the content so that it's suitable for the speech model, and it's read, it's quite natural, not perfect, but I think you will enjoy it. So let's go to see how to fix the internet with Reticulum, Nostr, and some other projects.
So I want to talk about some things that are wrong with the internet and some obscure technologies that will hopefully fix it. I'm not saying that these technologies fix everything about the internet, and there are many things that don't need to be fixed. So let's get to it. So it started as a military academic project for a communications network that was supposed to withstand the nuclear attack of the fright of the Cold War. And it was very different era. I hope it's not coming back, but it created this atmosphere where people, especially from the military background and academia, were looking at how to solve this kind of a problem. Gradually, there were some things that increased centralization. They were introduced. For some, it was not a problem for the original use case. Like when you have a central IP address allocation, it doesn't interfere with the original goal. So it was not a problem. These days, it sometimes becomes problem. So there is a domain name system, which is quite distributed, a little bit distributed, but it still can become problem because each of the top level domains has some owner that can do censorship based on whatever requests by the state, by the courts, and so on. So if we rely on it too much, then it might be a problem, but there are ways how not to rely on it too much, and I will talk about those. Then there's routing. To be able to route properly on the internet, you either use your upstream provider, but that kind of takes away the ability to be a decentralized node, because you only have one provider. And if you want to have more peers to connect to, you need a way to route the packets on the network. Currently, in order to do that, you need a special number that is called the number of autonomous system. And these are also centrally assigned. So there is some kind of centralization even in the lowest layers of the protocol, IP address, routing, and domain name system. Then we got the whole Web 2.0 revolution with websites not being static web pages, but something that you would interact with, and people started building applications and eventually social networks. And these became a huge centralized platforms for identity, for relationships, and later for speech and kind of decentralized media, I would say. So we are no longer in control of these things. The audience of many of our channels is on these centralized platforms. And we have learned over the past few years that people can be censored and that people can be canceled. Another problem is that on the internet, everything is free. And of course, I like free stuff, so I'm not against it, but it comes with its own set of problems. The first problem is that we pay with our attention, and a control of our attention or self-control of our attention is a very important skill to learn. I highly recommend trying meditation, which is the training of your attention and focus. So we pay with the attention. If we want to get the free stuff, we need to look at the commercial, at the ad, at someone's opinion. We need to share our private data, which is like contact information, which is access to our attention in the future. If someone wants my email address for me to read the blog, that means that they will email me later with some offer they have for me and grab my attention later. Also, we are the product. So if we are not paying, someone else is paying for something, and they pay usually for the access to either our attention or our data. Another problem, if everything is free, we have a spam problem, because then if anyone can use all these protocols of these services for free, there is no easy way to differentiate between bots that are just spamming and humans that have this attention that can be solved. And this is solved very unfortunately by things like verified phone numbers, email logins. In some cases, you need to give them the credit card number, even if they don't charge it. That's the way how to avoid spam. In some cases, also KYC. So payment is another way how to solve the spam problem, and also the monetization and paying for all these servers and all these people who create things. Maybe you have noticed there is no CAPTCHA. AI has become better in solving CAPTCHAs than humans, so it's no longer a good anti-spam measure. So these are two problems, and I want to talk about them, and I will present you with two obscure technologies. So the first one is Reticulum. I will not talk too much about it, but it's a replacement for TCP/IP. So it's a different network protocol. It can run over any medium, but it is specially tested with LoRa. You can get ESP32-based device that has a LoRa chip for around $20. You can run a firmware, which is called Rnode, then you can connect it to a computer and you can access this mesh network. It doesn't have a centralized IP address allocation, so addresses work similar to, let's say, a Bitcoin, where address is derived from the key. It also means that all packets are encrypted by default, except of routing announcements, which are useful if they're unencrypted. You can use it also not only through LoRa, but also through Wi-Fi, internet, even I2P. There's a new Wi-Fi protocol called Wi-Fi Halo, which is based on the standard Wi-Fi, so it has WPA and access points, and the configuration is very similar, but it has a little bit longer range, up to 1 kilometer, and a little bit slower connection, but it's another way how to interconnect these mesh nodes in a city. Of course, if you have if you want to hack and you want to use a different protocol, you can just connect it with a serial port, and it also works, and then transmit it any way you like. So it's encrypted by default, and there's no centralization. So you announce yourself to your peers, they learn how to route packets. If a connection goes down, hopefully not due to nuclear attack, then it will just find another route if it exists by itself. What can you do with it? You can tunnel TCP/IP through it, so you can run a VPN over it, you can do SSH, but there's this very cool like text-based, very hacky app called NomadNet. It has some sort of web pages, so access to information, and of course a chat. Chat is based on another set of protocols called LXMF. It's interoperable between NomadNet, Sideband, which is like a graphical version of NomadNet, and recently MeshChat. What is cool, it also allows transport over QR codes. So if you have a common square and you want to send someone a message and the LoRa connection doesn't work, you can just print a QR code and it's the same encrypted message. So if you scan it with Sideband, it will appear in the same chat as any other form of delivery. Of course, encrypted by default, and there are propagation nodes if the counterparty is not online. So maybe some of you remember like FidoNet or BBS. So it's the same idea. I come online, I download my messages, I send my new messages, and then I can be offline again. So it's very hacky, pre-internet thing. But on the other hand, it's a very modern protocol that works. I have written a small wallet that can send cashew tokens over Reticulum, so you can even send some sets and pay with Bitcoin over this protocol. So this solves the low level centralization issues. So central IP address allocation, like centralization in routing, and to some extent also domain name system. It doesn't have any domain name system. You need to have keys, and you can use them to talk to other people. Another technology that I want to talk about a little bit more is called Nostr. Nostr started out as a replacement for traditional social media. You start by creating your identity. Contrary to other protocols such as Mastodon and Fediverse, it doesn't use domain name system. So your whole identity is the public key, you need to have the private key to it. But it's not attached to any node, to any domain or anything like that. So that helps censorship avoidance. This identity is nowhere but everywhere. There's no one to send the court order to cancel an identity. So it's in a sense, it's similar to Bitcoin or Monero address. You generate the key, you have the address, and you can use it. That's how it exists everywhere. So just the existence of the private key is the identity. There's nowhere to register it to. There's nothing else that you need to do. What is also nice, we can use this identity in any app. In social networks, one thing is identity, another thing is audience, so people following this identity, and also our relationships. Who do we follow? Who are we interested in? Or what identities do we want to read messages from? So what is very powerful about Nostr and why I like it is there are many apps, and I will show you some, where you can use these relationships, this identity, for things that are very different to the original, let's make a Twitter clone. Which client to use? For first-time users, I recommend Primal because it is multi-platform. It will work for all of you, even on the web, even if you don't want to install any apps. Other good options are Amethyst on Android, Damus on iOS, or Coracle or Iris on the web. So as you can see, this is similar to Bitcoin. Whatever wallet you want to use, just install it and use it, and it can interact with the protocol. So Nostr is not a service. It's a protocol that we can use. How does it work? So the basis of the protocol is something that is called a node. A node has a very simple but very specific structure. It has some fields that are mandatory. One of them is pubkey and signature. That's how you sign nodes with your identity. There's things like type, creation date, the content itself. But then there are tags, and you can have different kinds of nodes. So it can be like a message, a long form blog. It can be a like event, a follow event, and many other things. And you can create your own node kinds. And also you can use tags. So who am I replying to, or other things. If we write a post, what it means is you create this JSON structure and you create a signature, and then you send it to whoever you want to send it to, preferably to special nodes that are called relays. You can so the node is unique. It has your signature. So you can publish it to as many relays as you want, even hundreds if you want to, if they take it. And in our profile, which is also a special kind of a node that is signed by our key, is a list of relays where we usually publish to. So if you want to follow me, what does it mean? Your client looks at the profile node, sees, okay, URI usually publishes to these 10 relays. And when you open your client and you want to read the notes that were written by me, you can just connect to all these relays and ask for my notes, and hopefully some of them will reply and give you the notes.
Sure.
It is very easy to backup our notes. So if you use traditional social networks, it's kind of painful to get all the content that you produced. But with Nostra, this is very easy. I have a script on my GitHub if you want something that is already done. Relays can reject our nodes, and there are many reasons why they would do it. Maybe it's too long. Maybe they don't know me and think that I'm a spammer. Maybe the node is too old. Maybe the relay only wants current nodes, and so on. But we are free to choose or run our own relays. So it's not censorship. It's like no one has any obligation to store our nodes for us. But you usually can find some relays that will store them, or you can run your own relay. There are also paid relays, which promise to store nodes for longer periods of time. Also, the relays can delete these nodes, but it's not censorship. Because it is enough that the node is on some relay. It doesn't have to necessarily be on any specific relays. So if too many relays censor us, we can run our own relay and tell everyone where to find our nodes. So that's very easy to do. You can use the backup, and you can republish your nodes as well. It's quite resistant to censorship. There are some talks about, oh, it's not decentralized enough and so on. But if you compare it to if we compare it to the big social networks, there is zero resistance to censorship. Email is a very interesting case because you can run your own email server, but then anyone else can say, oh, this whatever domain name, hcpp.cz, we don't like them. So we can ban the whole email server. There's this anti-spam and all the things. And you cannot migrate your identity easily somewhere else. You need to tell everyone, okay, I changed domains. So if my domain is canceled, I need to create a new email address, and I need to tell everyone, okay, this is a new identifier, and there's a lot of work to do. So the social network, social graph is broken, and you need to fix it manually. This is the problem with Mastodon as well. And it is even more visible. There are a lot of the big Mastodon servers, they share a block list, and they are also don't like Bitcoin and capitalism and other things. So if any user on any server says, you know, Bitcoin is cool, buy Bitcoin, they will just ban the whole domain, and all the other big servers will copy the block list. So it's very easy to get a block, even if you did not do anything. So I had an account on a server that is called bitcoinhackers.org. It was banned by the whole network, and I didn't even post anything, and suddenly my identity was banned. And you cannot take it. Of course, you can run another node, but then you need to tell everyone, okay, I have changed my domain, because the domain name is part of the identity. With Nostra, There is no server. You cannot do blocking like per server or something like that. Each identity is unique, separate. So that is very nice. And also, one way to censor is say, okay, you are banned from the platform and you cannot send. You cannot use it anymore. You cannot post anymore. So if your whatever YouTube account gets cancelled, then you're basically screwed. But also what has been happening in the standard social media is called shadow banning. So you would think everything works, but no one would see your posts, or very little people would actually see your posts. Nostr doesn't have a post selection algorithm or node selection algorithm by default. You can, of course, your client can show you whatever your however you configure it. But the standard algorithm is give me all the nodes sorted by time, give me all the nodes of people I follow, sorted by time, and show it to me. So the first thing you will notice is that it's super boring. Most people just say good morning or GM. and that's it. And when you open it up, you see 10 good mornings and whatever coffee someone had for breakfast and so on. But it's also a good thing, you know, because these are normal things. This is what people do. So you open it, you see, okay, 10 good mornings, my day is already nice, and I don't have to be tied to the app for the next half an hour. I can just see, oh, okay, cool article, something is happening, and 5 minutes later, there's nothing more to see. You have seen everything. It doesn't try to get you hooked on the app, and you can feel it. It's like a completely different feeling to things like Twitter or anything else. So it's boring, but for me, it's a feature. Then there's no shadow banning. There's no way any central authority can say, client, don't show this post because it is controversial, because it's your client that decides what it's showing you. And no one controls the narrative. There's a social control. If you post something ugly, people will tell you that they don't like it. But it's not like, oh, let's remove biases or something like that. So it's pretty nice. Okay. So what does it mean that I own my identity? Identity in these social networks is the existence of the account, the followers, and the people that I follow. And you can use it as a Twitter-type social network that has basically posts and or longer form posts. But then you say, okay, now I want to listen to podcasts. And there are so many good podcasts. Even if I subscribe to all the good podcasts, I cannot ever listen to all the episodes that people that I like produce, because they produce so much. So what do we do, like as humans? What do you do? A friend tells me, oh, Juraj, listen to this episode. This one is really good. And then I do it. On Nostr, you have those people you listen to, and you have a podcasting app that can show you these recommendations. So this is just an implementation of the same thing that happens socially. So this is an app that is called Fountain, and it gives you a feed of just podcasts that your friends are recommended. Either they sent some boost over Lightning to it, or they just posted about it. So you already chose your friends. You already chose whose content you want to follow. And this app will just use this identity. You don't have to create anything new, follow new people in a different app. You just take it over and have a different kind of a view of the content, and just see, in this case, it's podcast and music recommendations, because it also supports value for value music. You can read blogs. There is a platform called Highlighter, which is very interesting because when people are sharing blogs, normally they say, oh, cool blog, and post a link. But I don't want to read the whole thing before I know why they like it. So it's nicer if they can highlight, oh, this paragraph is very interesting and this was important for me and that's why I want to read the blog. So people highlight parts of the blogs and share this. So you not only get URL, but you also see why they liked this part or why they didn't like as well. There are blogging platforms such as Habla. I like specialty coffee. I would like to drink some good coffee. I want to go to the coffee places where my friends are going. So why not create a note with GPS coordinates to the coffee shop? And then I can open another app and I can see, okay, where are the coffee shops that my friends go to in Prague? I want to go there. I don't want to go to a random five-star coffee shop on Google Maps. So you can use these relationships that you are building for many applications. It's not limited to posts or text posts or something like that. Many people are experimenting with traveling and knowing where their friends are. I don't personally do that. I don't want to share my location, but some people do and they can use the same thing. And also, if you know someone's Nostra identity, you can write them an encrypted message. Of course, that's built in. Protocol is not so cool. I will show you. Another interesting thing is that the same content can be used in many ways. So this is the account of an event that we organized. It's an Nostra account. You can see it in a client called Coracle. This is how it looks in Habla, which is a blogging platform. It's the same content. And now what you can do is you can take all this content, all these notes, and you can turn them into a web page. So this is the official web page of the event. The way you create this web page is you start with the Nostra identity and you say, I want the notes or just long form notes or even short form notes by this identity. And the only thing extra that you configure is the menu, or maybe you choose a theme. And suddenly you have a website that is made out of the Nostra content that you produced. If someone replies to your blog, you can see it as a comment on the website. So this is a way how you can use Nostra, but show it also to people who don't know what it is and don't understand it and don't want to install a Nostra client. This is a Nostra client that turns the notes into a website. It's integrated with Bitcoin. So there is this idea in Bitcoin that is called value for value, that we should solve the problem that everything is free and we pay with our attention. We should, in some cases, maybe send reward, such as some small Lightning payment. Like on traditional social media, people click the hearts and like posts, but it's very cheap signaling. It's free. I just click, oh, like, I like everything. But when someone helps you, when someone writes an interesting article and you are educated or touched with it or anything like that, and you want to reward them, in a Nostra client, you can usually tap the zap button. And you can just send them some Satoshi. Same thing with podcasts, Fountain, but many other podcasting 2.0 apps allow you to stream to the podcaster per minute. So the value is proportional to how long you listen to the podcast. So if you turn it off after 5 minutes, it wasn't very valuable. So you didn't send many sets. But if you listen to the whole thing, you at least paid with your time. You found some value in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have listened to it, and you can reward the podcaster. You can also boost. So if you learn about something important, interesting, you can say, okay, I like this part. It also shares this boost with the Nostr with the Nostr users, so they know that you liked something so much that you decided to send some money to the podcaster. Apple didn't like this much because they didn't get their 30% cut. So there are some things you need to do on Apple platforms, but you can still do it. The problem is that Lightning, the receiver needs to be online. So there are several ways how you can solve this problem. The easiest one is, of course, to use a custodial wallet. Usually not a problem for smaller amounts, but you can also use cashew tokens, or you can run your own Lightning node and receive the zaps that way. So what do people do with Nostr? Social media posts, so Twitter-like, short or long, that's something like blogs. Photos, maps. Again, tied to your social graph. I will show you some examples. Then there was this thing called Linktree, where you could create a super simple website with links, and then you would put the website in your bio, so you don't have 20 links in your profile. So there's Nostree, that is an implementation of that. You can create websites, as I showed you, blogs. You can host files. So nodes are not for binary data. You don't put an image in a node. That would be probably refused by most relays, but there are ways how to link like larger media, such as images or videos. And there is a protocol how to publish them that is called Blossom. Then you can connect services. You can make things talk to each other. The most common thing is some kind of front-end talking to a Lightning wallet. So there's a protocol for that, and you can use it with BTC Pay server and some other wallet. And the communication goes over Nostr, so you don't have to forward ports and configure things. You just paste the public key, and that's how it communicates. You can create events. So an event is another kind of node. This event is kind of lonely because it seems I'm the only Nostr attendee. Maybe someone has clicked it as well. But this is something like meetup.com, but on Nostr. This is a normal node, so you see it in any client. This is the same node in Flockster, and this is in Coracle. So it's not like different services, it's all compatible. If it supports events, you will just see it in any kind of Nostr client. This is the map thing, so you log in and you can see some kind of notes about locations. This one is called Yonder. It's not used very much, it's more experiments, but this shows that it's not a Twitter clone. You can really push it quite far with a social graph and the identity. This is a replacement for public Telegram groups. You can have group chats. This is not encrypted, so that's why I'm saying public Telegram groups. So you can delete the spyware app and do it like this. These are Zero-X chat and KeyChat. So these are secure messaging apps that use the identity and your social graph. So you can, there are ways to do more secure chat than standard Nostr DMs. So Nostr DMs are encrypted, but they leak a lot of metadata, which IP address you send it from, who are you writing to, and so on. So they try to solve this in these apps. There's a marketplace. So if you want to see what your friends are selling, you can just click on the marketplace tab and you can see what people are selling for sats. And it's from your social network. So you don't see what everyone is selling. You see what people you follow are selling, or you can of course look at the global feed, but that would be probably full of spam. Mostr is a very nice tool. It allows you to bridge other social networks, other protocols into Nostr. So if you want to follow Richard Stallman, who writes on Fediverse, on Mastodon, you can just follow him. It creates an identity for him, and it just bridges all the nodes back to Nostr. So you can just follow him and see all the nodes that he writes, and you don't have to switch social networks. This one is also nice. It's called Atomstr. It does the same thing for Atom and RSS feeds. So if you want to see if there's a podcast episode, you can just take the RSS URL, or if it's a blog, you paste it. It will give you the identity of the Atomstr feed for that RSS feed. And now you are using your Nostr client as an RSS reader. But it's a node. You can repost it, you can reply to it, you can do anything with it. So this is a note about my podcast episode. It was published automatically by the service, and I can just repost it and say, hey, my newest podcast is here, and all the content is already there, loaded automatically. This is, I would say, replacement for Nomad List for Nostr user. So this is Prague. You can see what people like about Prague, where do they go to, some photos. You can see people who are interested in Prague. So you can see some familiar faces here, and it has some kind of ambassadors who do some kind of moderation. So this looks nice. So this is called Setlantis. You also use your Nostr identity. You see your friends first, and you can interact with people this way based on location. What to do with the keys? So the problem is that you don't want to give all these apps your private key, but that's what we usually do, I have to say. But first of all, there's a hardware wallet, a hardware signer. It's called, Nostr Signer. So that's one way that we are used from cryptocurrencies. You connect it to your computer, and if any app wants to sign a node, you can see it on the display and sign it with a button. Very big problem in Nostr, currently unsolved, is that the key cannot be changed. If it leaks, you're screwed and you have to create new identity. So be careful with the keys. Hopefully it will be solved in the future somehow, but not right now. You can have a browser extension for signing. It's very similar to what people do in Web3. So you have a MetaMask. If an app wants to sign something, a window pops up, shows what you're signing, and you can either sign or not sign. But the private key is in the extension, not in the app. So there's this approach. Then there's Bunker, which is a separate app, and you connect it over Nostr, but the private key is in the Bunker, which is a signer app. So we can say, okay, if I press like and follow, sign it, whatever, I don't care. If it's a node that changes my name and the list of my relays, maybe ask me if I want to sign it. Another thing that is kind of obscure, I will just mention it, is Frostr. It uses, because Nostr uses Schnorr signatures, you can have a multisig identity. So if you have a space like this, and you want social network manager or social identity manager, it can be multisig 205, and someone else have to sign, so you don't get drunk at night and post some things you should not post, but someone else has to sign. So you can do many things that with this multisig approach. What I really like is that Nostr is accessible from web apps. So you can use JavaScript to talk to relays. So this app is called Oracolo. And it's the same idea. You create a web page out of the block, but It's basically index.html where you paste a public key and it will connect to the relays and render this page for you. So if you can host one static HTML file, which contains also JavaScript, you can have a blog. And there are many ways how you can host one file. So you can have a blog on the public internet. I used this one. This is my project. It is using AI to estimate how esoteric a concept is. But what I wanted to show here, this is a progressive web app. So it works like web app, but you can also add it to home screen on your phone. It's also a static HTML and it talks to the backend with Nostr messages. So when you open it, it just generates a random identity, just generates a random key, and it talks to the backend. And the interesting thing is that I can run the backend anywhere. I used to run it on my laptop, so it would only work when I was online, but it didn't matter where I was online. So the app didn't talk to any kind of tunneled identity. Basically, it just sent a DM and I was fetching messages from the relays and replying to them. So this is a way how you can kind of use some type of backend and just use Nostr for communication. And you can usually host a static HTML file and anyone can host this. So this can have like 100 frontends. Another thing that I have experimented with, which you can't really do with traditional social networks, is you can have a shared identity. So it's an anonymous microblog. This is my my experiment with it. It's a satiric identity of a super hardcore statist that thinks about all the regulations we could pass to make the world a better place. But it's not my identity, because anyone who knows password can sign and publish nodes. So this is a website. The way you post, again, static HTML, and if you know the democratically chosen password, it will use password-based key derivation function to calculate the private key, sign the node, and post it. So the anonymity set is anyone who knows the password. You don't need any Nostr client, not to read, not to post. Everything is in the web, but it's a Nostr node, so you can follow this account. But it doesn't have any particular owner. All the people that know the password know the private key, and no one has more power than anyone else, not even me. So this is an experiment that you can do of shared identities. What does it mean? We on the internet, we have seen many shared identities. This is Milady. It is kind of it has a she has a personality. There are ways how people interact, this is another meme. And this birdie guy has his own identity. We know he's a hardcore libertarian. We know what he would say and what he would not say, but no one in particular is in control of this identity. So this experiment makes it explicit. There is really an identity registered on the social network, but many people can act as this identity. It is very interesting to see how these identities change over time, both with how people develop and also how the password spreads. You cannot change the password. The private key cannot be changed. This is something that you can do with Nostr that you can't really do with traditional social networks. Conclusion. So I've talked about Reticulum, which is a mesh network, no centralization, and would probably somehow withstand a nuclear attack. Let's not try it. We need to start using it, of course, and what is nice about it is encrypted by default, which is, by the way, not very cool thing to do in this LoRa radio. I don't like people who are doing ham radio and LoRa and use these frequencies, they don't like encryption that much. They say, okay, this should be all public information. So we have been criticized for doing this, actually. But it's in some countries, it's not even allowed to send encrypted content. But, you know, it's just measurements of fluctuations of temperature. So can't really tell. Nostr is quite resistant to censorship, although it is somehow centralized by the existence of the relays. I am working on trying to make it a little bit more decentralized, but from the point of view of identity, it's I think decentralized enough, so we can start using it. You can really own your identity, meaning you have your private key and no one else has your private key. You can somehow own the followers or the people you follow. They cannot be just cancelled by someone removing the identity, and you lose everything you were building by someone else's decision. And what is nice when you play with this Nostr land, no one ever asks you for your email address, what's your name, where are you from. All these are optional. Everything is very beautiful, do it yourself. So if you like hacking, these protocols are super simple. Most of the code I've wrote is like 200 lines. So it's very open and it's not very rigid. So you can extend it in any way you like. So there are people doing really crazy things with it. Because it is a protocol, it has a lot of use cases that people did not intend. So it's kind of growing. The apps and the use cases are we are discovering them by ourselves, and it was not anyone's great plan. So I'll end up. I have a t-shirt on. I had a hoodie.
We have 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your time.
Yes. So this is a Nostr post by Jack Dorsey, which is very, very funny because Jack Dorsey started Twitter and now he's the biggest Nostr supporter, both financially and by speaking about it. It says, if they lose your attention, they lose their power. So this social network thing is about attention, and the censorship is also about attention, because the attention is the currency they use. They use it to polarize. So, you know, do you remember the big thing you should be concerned about from 4 months ago? I don't, because I don't give it my attention. But if you give it your attention, you give them power. That's how it works. That's how they polarize you. Also, the attention is very important for getting votes. So that's why it's important about who controls the narrative, who controls what you focus on, what's your attention. So I think this is a very nice, and it's really funny that it was said by Jack, who created Twitter. But I think that's true. And I think Nostr allows us to direct our attention where we want to, choose ourselves. There is no algorithm that chooses for us. And as I said, Nostr is very boring, but it's a good thing. They're not trying to attract our attention to the next big thing, but it's just how the world works. You know, the world is boring. Mostly nothing happens. You wake up, you have your breakfast, you go with your day. You meet with your friends and interact with the world. And most of the time, nothing really attention worthy happens. So that's how life is. And that's why I like the feeling of Nostr, because it's similar. And you're not in constant treadmill of attention harvesting. So thank you very much. Do we have time for questions?
Maybe. Sorry.
All right.
So we talk often about the cost of compliance, which is usually associated with some sort of financial transaction in the network. What do you think the cost of compliance is psychologically with the state of our media networks, and how does non-compliance enter into the picture?
Josh has a very good episode of Bitpunk FM, which is called Sponsorship Equals Censorship. And the cost of compliance is basically self-censorship, because if you are a creator and you are producing on this, say you have a YouTube channel, you are dependent on that channel. So you never say things that will get you canceled, because you will lose your income. With value for value, you look at it the other way. So you create content that is valuable and you ask people to support you. Another thing actually that Josh said the other day, which applies, is we have this cool space technology. We can send each other rewards for what we create, and we use it to send each other 1 cent. So that's the other part that needs to be sold. But YouTube ads are not also like, you need a lot of views and a lot of followers to actually make a living out of YouTube. So this allows us to be ourselves, to just publish whatever we want to. And there's no fear of being canceled or shadow banned. This cost of compliance is basically removed. So of course, Nostr is small. Value for value podcasting is not as small, because it's compatible with normal podcasting. So I think we should experiment with these things, but I'm not saying it's like a flip solution for everyone, for every creator, and they can whatever have their channel about specialty coffee and suddenly switch it to Nostr and have 100,000 followers. That's not how it works, unfortunately, right now. But I suggest everyone play with it. One thing I would suggest: many people ask me, is there a way to repost everything I post on Twitter on Nostr? There are some ways, but please don't do it. Just go on Nostr, and it feels differently. You don't want to post exactly the same things as you do on Twitter. You're not attention harvesting. You know, it doesn't matter how many likes your post has. It's not going to be promoted with some algorithm. So just be yourself. Feel free to be boring. It's appreciated. And just kind of like perceive it as its own thing. It's, you know, it's not a Twitter replacement. It's Nostr, and it has...
Well, just like Twitter wasn't a blog when it came around, right? I mean, it's a completely different animal. Last week at the Proof of Work Summit, we hosted Phil Zimmerman. And somebody sort of ostrich-pilled Phil. And Phil's question was, and keep in mind, this is the inventor of PGP that was our first secure communications for human rights reasons. And he mentioned, his first question was, well, okay, how do we censor or how do we deal with Russian propaganda, for example, was his question. And so the question I'm asking you is, are you a free speech maximalist? Does that mean that literally everything, right down to calls to overthrow the government, calls to assassinate, Katy Perry and child porn? I mean, is this a free speech maximalist protocol, do you believe?
It is. With some caveats. So, for example, many relays don't allow porn, including child porn, but porn in general. But
hardcore they'd allow, right?
Hardcore, of course. So, which is a feature for me. I don't really want to open my feed and see porn. But you can run a relay where this is allowed. So. So on a protocol level, it is like you are basically entering a contract with the relay operator, and you promise what kind of notes do you want to post. Another thing is that it teaches you that you have to handle this yourself. There's a lot of spam, but you choose who you follow. So if you want to follow someone who is spreading Russian propaganda, you can, but I don't. I don't see any Russian, not that I'm aware of, but I see just normal people posting about their stuff. So it gives you control as a person, and I think you are the only person that should have control of your own attention. That's what's it about. So I don't want to limit other people what they want to share, but I'm very strict where I put my attention. So that's the flip side, you know. I'm the censor, and I'm much more hardcore in what I want to pay my attention to than most even censors, you know. I don't want to see 90% of posts that are on Facebook and are allowed.
So then my next question, then, if there's a couple questions from the audience, we'll still have another 5 minutes. Do you think that, the essential core problems of social media amplification and the intersection with technology, why it is that people do not use alternates, are a technical question? So like the technical hurdle, or is it really a social hurdle of how people perceived communicating on social media?
Mostly social. I have to say that the algorithms, they're good. Like, they really show you what you want to see. So if you look at it from this perspective, okay, I have 5 minutes and I want to read something I'm interested in, it's usually not a good morning. So they're doing a good job. And when you come over to Noster, you see that it's different. And if you are a creator, you know, your tricks to become viral don't work at all. I have some posts that I post to traditional social media and to Noster, and it's like almost opposite type of content gets reposted on Noster than on traditional social media. So traditional social media is, again, attention harvesting. So controversial, you know, what people argue about, this is what's going to pop up because that has engagement. And on the other side, you have the value proposition of boring and people agreeing with each other, cheering up each other, and that is boring. So why would you want to go there? Most people that go to Nostras, they need to find out who to follow. Something that you need to. What is interesting, you can log in to most Nostra clients with a public key. So if you use my public key and you log into Nostra client, you cannot post as me, of course, but you see the same feed as I see. So that's how you can, say, oh, I want to see who, whatever, Jack Dorsey or Yuri follows. So you log in as them and you see, oh, interesting person. So that's how you set it up. Basically, you find a few people that you align with on some level and you follow whoever they follow. But, then, you know, it's not like they're not harvesting your engagement and your attention. So most people will just leave because it's just plainly is boring. It's not something that you want to be.
Do we have a question for your eye from the audience? Excuse me, can I walk past you? Thanks.
Hi, thanks for the great talk. I would like to ask a question about your last closing thoughts between the uniform distribution of your attention on Noster compared to Twitter. So like on Noster, I should expect something totally different because there is only uniform distribution on the post. It doesn't know what I want to see. And you told very well that the success of social media comes from that I kind of know what I want to see, but not exactly. So is there a method on Noster where I can curate my own algorithm? So like a marketplace when I can select that here is a free open source algorithm. I like this because it doesn't have shadow banning, but kind of curates my attention in the direction I somewhat know where it wants to go.
Yes. So some clients have this built in. So some clients show you what is trending, for example, from the global feed. I have seen experiments where you can actually choose the algorithm. So there's a list of like 20 algorithms and you can choose. People experiment with web of trust. So for example, you don't see spam replies because it's a reply by someone who is not followed by anyone in your circle. So that's also that's an anti-spam measure, which is the first step towards our algorithm, because first you don't want to see whatever airdrop bullshit. So yes, people are experimenting with it. I think with small AI models that would be much easier to train based on zaps. So if you zap some posts and you like them, then that's an information for your own algorithm on your phone to or your client to choose the posts for you. Right now, I think there is like the best algorithm right now is just to follow the people that you are interested in, because that's the biggest part of success. You don't follow people who don't bring any value to you. So that's something that you can do right now, but there's no sorting. You just see them in chronological order. But people are experimenting with algorithms that you can set up, control, and they're open. But the important thing is that the feed should be always built by your client on your own. It's not something that the relay tells you or something. You get all the notes and your client can filter them, sort them, whatever, and display them to you. But there is no like third party that does the calculation for you. So that's the main difference. I'm not saying that all algorithms are bad. Of course, you want to filter out what you're not interested in, but you should do it in a way where it's not controlled by a third party and you can do it yourself.
Yuri, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for listening. I have promised the reading of boosts. So totally for this podcast so far, I have received 3,471 sats from 10 unique listeners. And I'm looking at my podcasting 2.0 boosts dashboard, which is available on my GitHub. And you can use it for your podcast too, to see what's going on. That's for all the episodes altogether. So I'm just starting with value for value with this podcast. For the last episode, You Are a Bitcoiner Now, What's Next? I highly recommend it, by the way. It's amazing. It has already changed a few lives. I got 1,037 sats from 3 unique listeners. And one of them is Chad F, who says, I saw your Noster post about your Boost dashboard, so I'm checking out your podcast. And he sent, or rather, I have received 969 sats from him. So thank you. And until next time, bye-bye.